which is coming up pretty soon in November. Nine, I think, or 10 now, community campaigns calling for local school options in their areas have joined forces as an alliance and called themselves Our Children, Our Schools. And Clark Martin is a spokesperson for that group, and he's a parent who's been part of one of the campaigns, and he's popped by to tell us more about it. Very good morning to you.
Good morning, Kate.
And let's get a bit of background on all of the different campaigns that have been running, and that it seems to me a big deal for community campaigns to all come together as an alliance. Yeah, tell us a bit of background.
Well, look, our campaign started down at Beaumaris, where we had a terrific school, and it still is a great school, Sandringham College. And Sandringham College merged together in the late 80s under the reforms of taking smaller high schools into a college environment. But what we found through our campaign is that when three or four schools merged, if you had one outlier, the academics at Monash University did a study and found that ultimately bringing the schools together in a college format was successful, but where it failed was when there was an outlier, and the outlier could have been in a functional outlying situation where you had a different style of curriculum, or you had a geographical issue. And in our case, Beaumaris campus is 5 or 6 kilometres away from Hyatt and Sandringham Technical College, and over the 25-year journey we just saw slowly but surely some decline, and that created a crisis in 2011 where I had my boy enrolled in a year 7 class, and there was 2 or 3 classes proposed, and then there was talk that the campus wasn't sustainable and we were going to have to look at options. And at one very memorable moment at the meeting of about 100 new parents, someone said, well, one option may be to close the campus. And at that very point, our year went from a very successful and exciting time to 22 kids, and we had 4 boys involved, 4 girls, and they all had to pull out, so it turned into a boys only class. And that's just one example of what these campaigns are going through. So we've got campaigns across Richmond, we've got a campaign in Kyneton, a crossover in Coburg, Fitzroy, and the list goes on. And we had another campaign join us only in the last week when they heard about us down at Elwood High School.
So, what do you all have in common, all of these campaigns? Because, I mean, going by your example there, you're a parent, you're concerned that all of a sudden if that school closed down, you wouldn't have a local school for your sons to go to. So, therefore, what would you then do? Is this the kind of question that you ask yourselves? Therefore, you're saying, oh, we don't want these schools to close down. But what power do you have as parents to keep a campus open if it doesn't have the numbers?
Well, what we found was we had very little power. And we as a group, reached out and started hearing very similar stories and very emotional stories right across, and that's why we formed Our Children, Our Schools. And we've been meeting at Carlton now for about 9 months. And look, the answer to your question is parents are highly dedicated to their children. There's no doubt about that. And what I have seen that's been happening, that didn't happen when I was growing up, but parents are actually in fear of what's happening to their kids' education, quite rightly. But it's become to the point now where if there's even a small sense that a school might not be doing too well, people will choose and move on, and that can create a great deal of pressure on a school. And all of these fears and anxieties we all have from all of the studies that I've read, right through Gonski, right through talking to people, talking to educationalists, talking to people that have dedicated their life to Australian public education, they're unfounded.
The fears, because people don't want to experiment with their kids' education, do they? So if they get a sniff, and I can imagine reacting this way, I mean, if you get a sniff that a school isn't going to be as successful as you'd hope, or there might be other options around, just if you travel a little bit further, or just if you pay a bit of money or whatever, that you'll go in that direction. But as you say, it's leaving a void behind. If a lot of families are doing that, then you end up with the school suffering and potentially closing down, and then there's families there that don't have options left. And I mean, what does the government do when you approach them and call for better school in your area, or help with maintaining a campus? What response do you get?
Well, I'm really glad you've asked that question. What you get is 80 public meetings. You get 18 months of pain and suffering. You get every indication that they're going to support your school. And then right at the end, they tell you, no, we're going to do it this way. Now, they may be saying that this way is better for them and better for the system, but every school and every suburb of Melbourne, particularly our mature suburbs, have their own style of doing things, and there's no one size fits all, and that's what they do, and that's what happened to us. So when we got that news, we went into campaign mode. We had passionate people that were not going to tolerate a school being closed during their years, and we had parents and we had the principal, and there was people that were extremely passionate. But at the end of the day, the decision to listen to us wasn't what we expected. It was, no, we're going to remain in this model. We'll give you a small amount of funding. That should be enough. If that doesn't get you by, well, we're going to have to look at the sustainability. Our city is growing. I don't know if anyone's in the department listening.
Yeah, we were actually talking about on the program last week that, you know, predictions, and if they come true, I mean, we're looking at growing from 4 million to 7 million people in Melbourne over the next sort of 30 years, which is a massive growth and unprecedented, actually. But I wonder, I mean, I've seen other campaigns, and we've had the Coburg High School campaign on this program a couple of years ago, and I think they've been quite successful in getting a high school option there for year 7. Entry. So what, with some of these successes, what makes one campaign successful and another campaign not successful, do you think, Clark?
Well, look, I think that from what I've seen is that you need the parent support, and you need an intuitively logical message, an objective. Our school's got 5 primary schools surrounding it because our suburb was designed by really good town planners in the 1950s. So there is a school surrounded by 5 primary schools. Those primary schools are chockers. You're talking about when I first started my kids in primary school 10, 11 years ago, our school had about 350 kids. The school up the road had about, I think it was 280, 290. They're at 600. And they're telling us the school's not sustainable. And there's been no money spent on the actual high school, the Citadel in the middle. So 5 primary schools have been feeding that school since 1958, and they're telling us things have changed, people are changing their ideas. People aren't changing their ideas. People just want to see their school maintained to a standard. That's all. We're not, you know, all of these announcements recently, people are saying, oh, yeah, but the government's doing a really good job.
Yeah, I've seen them. I mean, there's $20 million. There's money for a Paran secondary. There's money for a primary school in Castlemaine. I mean, we've seen announcement after announcement, actually, since March, coming from the current state government to fund schools. I don't know that I've seen money going to the particular school you're speaking of, but there is money there, and it is being spent. And I think what there's a $12 billion or something coming out of the $12 million coming out of the federal government as part of Gonski and being spread around as well. So that's happening over the next 5 years, that we're getting money coming out of the Gonski report and funding model. So there is money there, but why isn't it being spread to some of these schools that clearly need the money?
Providing funding to a school to meet a basic standard is not amazing news. In fact, it's not newsworthy. It's a disgrace that we have become to the point where, wow, they're giving us some money to update the local primary school, where the buildings have been there for 80 years, they're leaking, and it's like a celebration. And the reason why it's a celebration, because good people have acted, parents have fought, and I didn't sign up as a parent to become a campaigner and to fight for what I would call a pretty basic right. And that right is that every child in Victoria, every damn one of them, has the right to go to good quality local.
And what makes, like, I was speaking with Clark Martin this morning, he's a spokesperson from the Our Children, Our Schools campaign, which is an alliance of 10 community campaigns that are pushing for local, high-quality education options for their kids, mainly for secondary schools, I understand. But what makes a school local? Is it just about distance?
I think a distance is a key thing. And, I mean, if you go out into regional Victoria and country Victoria, you know, distance is difficult. You're going to catch buses and you will create options to where you go. And in some respects, that happens in a big city like Melbourne. You can pick and choose a few schools. But eventually, it does become a local school when local kids are going to school. There is nothing more inspiring than seeing children riding to school. You know, seeing secondary students, seeing their mates from the last couple of years and brothers and sisters at the primary schools and having strong connections. In many respects, we've lost a little bit of that, and I think that's where this anxiety comes.
Well, people, particularly for secondary school, students do travel a long way, don't they? And I remember hearing a discussion recently coming out of some social research that students are travelling further and further to go to selective entry schools in particular, and if they can't get into one of those, a private school. And the local school, particularly in sort of outlying parts of major cities, are suffering from particularly the brightest kids leaving and leaving behind a school that could be good if it actually represented the community, but it doesn't anymore. Do you feel like it's going to change? Like this kind of campaign can turn this around or not?
Yeah, I do. I think we've been out and about now for a couple of months and we're getting a discussion happening, a conversation happening around every kitchen table. I think parents are starting to really weigh up. Really, really listen. It's starting right now. The enrolment period, the season of enrolments is starting. Your local ads will be in all the papers. The schools will be out promoting. Those schools, and I'm talking about private schools and public schools, are filled with fantastic educationalists, people that would inspire anyone. But those teachers and principals are there, and if you go in and meet them, you will be inspired by them. I think our country is blessed with a fantastic university system that is producing graduates that are going into the schools for the right reasons. It's all there. There just seems to be a bit of a dislocation over the last 10 or 15 years. And that has been a result of different federal government funding. I mean, I think it was 10 or 15 years ago where every independent school in the country was guaranteed a certain level of funding. I think it's about $3,500 per child, no matter what private school it is, that comes in. So it becomes an insidious thing that I think it would be one of those unintended consequences from a policy change 10 or 15 years ago to here we are now. Why are we having this conversation?
Well, Gonski, I mean, there is a hope in your alliance, Clark, that Gonski will turn some of this around because it is a needs-based model and it's quite different to the way that schools have been funded in the past. Is that likely to give an injection of cash to some of these schools that aren't getting what they need?
Yeah, I think it is. Absolutely it is. And that was the whole basis of us, just to get the schools back to being what they need. We're not talking about amazing things here. We're talking about getting schools back to the standards they require. If you maintain a school to a standard, people will have faith in it. People will see sustainability and they'll see the future. Our experience was the Beaumaris campus was run down and dilapidated to the point where I had to go up with a local journalist and take a video of it. And it was really sad.
And what about results? I mean, maybe not with your particular school, but we can see, we have a little bit of a window into schools now through the My School website. Look, I haven't looked at that for some years now, but we can get a bit of a snapshot based on the NAPLAN testing and also the enrolments and cultural diversity of the school and all sorts of other bits of information. Has that been an asset, do you think, for schools?
Look, I think it has. I think it's a really good start. It might not be perfect, but I think it is good to ensure that all the people who work in those schools can easily compare themselves with others. But every school is different. It's really important that, as you've already raised, that you know, some bright students might be leaving for various reasons, but other bright students will be coming in. Don't worry about that. You'll always hear of, oh, my child had a shocking year at this school, it's not a good school. But if there's probably five parents that had a brilliant time. And the really important thing is we do look at the VCE results as the ultimate measure of a school. I hope that new measures will come out, because a lot of people who come out of a school don't go into university, which is what the VCE is about. The VCE is to actually get children to get to university level. But there's enormous work getting done outside of the university sector in all sorts of fields. Everything from people working in voluntary capacities, people working in the vocational training area, and people actually working in the trades. All of that area is still a very important part of the Victorian and Australian economy, and it shouldn't be underestimated. Not every child is going to be academically inclined to go into a university. And for those children that have picked that up early in year 9 and 10, the schools that can provide those pathways outside of the academic pathway are really important.
And you formed in the lead up to an election, so I imagine therefore you're campaigning in individual seats to get a result for education in those local areas. It looks to me like you, from Beau Morris to Coburg to Doreen, Oakley, right out to Kingsville and Yarraville, and I mean, it's a massive campaign. There's lots of seats in there. Will our children, our schools, be getting behind certain independent individual candidates based on an education platform? Is that the idea?
Look, we're not that advanced in that space yet, but I think to be effective, you've got to look at the political side of things. There's no doubt about that. But we don't want to be a, you know, come and go sort of organisation. We really want to set a foundation for the parents coming behind us to ensure that the discussion about your child's education is front of mind right through your parenting stage of your life, because it's so important. And I think, just to speak to so many people who get so anxious and, oh, I'm not sure what I'm going to do with my child, and I've heard this school, and what am I going to do? I'm going to start saving, go to a private school, and then it's all going to be better. Often it isn't that better. You know, you might spend $25,000 a year and not have a good experience because it just wasn't right for your child. We'd love our schools, our children, just that vision that every child has the right. They have the right to go to a high-quality, local, public school. And what we're seeing is an announcement that we're going to build a new or refurbish the school is now newsworthy.
Yeah, it's interesting,
isn't it? We've got to hold them to account. We've got to say, guys, in 4 years' time, if a party comes up over the next 6 months and says, you know what, you're right, we are going to fix the system. There's lots and lots of money in that system. And all that money that's been announced over the last 3 or 4 months, that was going to be done anyway. It's not new money, guys. That money is there. It's the budget that goes. So we're all getting a little bit, I hate to say it, but we're getting exploited. And I think journalists and the media need to really get stuck into this stuff and say, oh, we're announcing a new playground for a school that's just doubled in size and hasn't had a dollar spent on it in 15 years. Is that newsworthy?
Yeah, it's perspective, isn't it? Thank you for coming in. Clark Martins with Our Children, Our Schools, and 10 community campaigns have got under that alliance to push for a high-quality state education for their area. And if you want to find out more, they're online, and we can put links up on the RRR website, rrr.org.au, if you want to find out a little bit more about that. And I think we'll be hearing a lot more about education between now and November. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
RRR.